A doctor in Normal who specializes in treating cancer patients says he's encouraged to see new studies that could dramatically shorten the length of time that prostate cancer patients have to undergo radiation. That story is just ahead on WGLT's Sound Ideas. Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Denham. You'll hear from that radiation oncologist at the Carl Cancer Institute in our latest installment of Sound Health. Plus, a rapper from Bloomington Normal is out of prison and aspiring for a career in music and for a fresh start.
Everything I did in life was for a reason, even the good, the bad, and everything.
You'll hear from Rich Flex. And comedy, a tragedy, and Shakespeare's complete abridged works are coming back to Bloomington. Those stories and a Bloomington Normal news update just ahead. This is WGLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas, on 89.1 FM and WGLT.org. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. A doctor who specializes in treating cancer patients says he's encouraged to see new studies that could dramatically shorten the length of time that prostate cancer patients have to undergo radiation treatments. Patrick Fernandez is a radiation oncologist at the Carl Cancer Institute in Normal. In this edition of Sound Health, Fernandez says it's possible radiation treatments that typically take 6 to 8 weeks to complete could be done in 1 week. He says medical technology has made radiation therapy far more precise than it used to be.
And that was made possible with the advent of new machines that can really target the dose precisely to the tumor tissue, and at the same time decreasing radiation dose to the surrounding tissues. And so by doing an experiment using lesser fractions, studies did show that this type of treatment, giving it in a shorter period of time, does give a good cure rates.
From what we have seen so far, it has not led to adverse reactions. You often hear that sometimes radiation is worse than the cancer itself, or is more painful than the cancer itself in some cases.
No. In fact, if you go back 20, 30 years ago, the machines that they used were very, I would call them now, primitive and not with good quality. Thankfully, over the last decade or so, our machines have improved with technology. Using computer technology, we are now able to deliver radiation much more precisely, much more compact. So with this technology, we are now seeing a lot less side effects than we used to see a decade ago.
How soon might we see this 1 week of radiation treatment for a prostate cancer patient?
I think there are a few loose ends to tie. Number one, we need the technology, which thankfully we do have at the Carl facility. And we need to look at the quality assurance. We need to look at long-term data. That's my main thing. I want to see a 10 or 15-year result. And once I see that, and if I'm convinced, we could very well be thinking about starting that kind of treatment regimen.
How much of an impact do you think that would have, you know, for patients to be able to get through this in a much more expedited fashion?
Correct. So the main important thing is the short-term results are excellent. The toxicity, the side effects are acceptable. And the biggest advantages for the patient, it's a much shorter treatment. It's less travel, less effect in their other work schedule. So I think this is something which we may see in the not too distant future. You need the technology. We need the technology. We need the machines. We need the expertise. And thankfully, we have it here. And I wouldn't be surprised if we look forward to starting this technology fairly soon.
What are the most common myths that people have about prostate cancer that you could address?
There are quite a few. Well, number one, prostate cancer surgery will end my sex life and cause leakage of urine. That used to be true in the past, when I say past, a decade or two ago. But nowadays, with the superior surgical techniques, including robotic procedures, the incidence of urinary leakage is extremely low in expert hands. The other myth is only elderly people get prostate cancer. That is true. Prostate cancer is a disease of the aging population. But there are patients, especially as I mentioned to you, African Americans, and especially those with a family history of cancer, they are at a higher risk of getting cancer at a younger age. And I have seen patients as young as 45 get prostate cancer. The next myth is you have to start the treatment right away. That's not true either, because as I mentioned to you in the past, this is usually a slow-growing cancer, and we could delay starting the treatment by a month or two without having any impact on the cure rate. And the last myth that I'm aware of is if you get prostate cancer, you will die of the disease. That is absolutely and thankfully not true.
That's Patrick Fernandez with the Carl Cancer Institute in Normal. Fernandez notes prostate cancer survival rates are over 90%, and the rate is much better if the cancer is detected early. Fernandez notes nearly 200,000 men were diagnosed with a prostate cancer last year. That makes it the second most common cancer behind skin cancer. You can find more stories in our Sound Health series at WGLT.org/soundhealth. I'm Eric Stock.
Support for WGLT health coverage comes from Carle Health, your trusted partner in all healthcare decisions. Information at carle.org.
Listen to our best stories and interviews on your schedule through WGLT's podcasts. You can find all our shows on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. That includes our daily news magazine, Sound Ideas, morning podcast, The Leadoff, and our gardening show, Grow. Find links to those and more at WGLT.org.
It's really neat when I can see the people who work at the radio station. It's just a really neat way to feel really connected with our community. And I'm not sure if people will get that in other communities. I grew up in the Chicagoland area. I knew who all the NPR news people were, but I wouldn't see them walking down the street. So I think that is really special that we have here in Bloomington Normal.
I'm WGLT financial contributor Sharon Chung from Bloomington. It's the Fall Fund Drive. Keep WGLT community powered with a gift at WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Next, the story of a young Bloomington Normal musician, Rich Flex, and his work, his incarceration, and what comes next. His real name is Rich Sims. We're going to start about 6 years ago, when Rich was talking to his cousin, Stefan, up in Chicago. Rich was 18 at the time. He was playing around with freestyle rapping, and Stefan was impressed. He encouraged him to make a serious run at music.
Hey, Dad, like, maybe 4 or 5 days after that conversation, and it didn't sit right with me. That's when I really, like, stopped going to school, stopped playing sports, stopped reaching out to the friends that, you know, that really did keep me out of trouble and stuff like that. It was just like, I ain't had no hope in after that.
Stefan was shot and killed outside the Walmart where he worked near Chicago. It wasn't the first person that Rich had lost in his life, and it wouldn't be the last. He saw his first person get killed at age 9 while living in Chicago. When Rich was around 13 years old, his mother moved the family down to Bloomington Normal.
My mom was trying to, you know, take us away from a lot of things that was going on.
Rich went to Normal Community High School and really liked it. Played some football, but he struggled and he got into trouble. In his words, he was young and wild. He was also struggling with addiction. He had a serious addiction to Xanax after Stefan's death.
Sometimes I look for help and, you know, it's not there when you need it. Or at the time that you don't need it, that's when they feel that you need it. I don't know if you understand, but it's just like a wishy-washy game with looking for help, because you never know what's real or what's fake.
Things got worse. I first came across Rich and his music about 2 years ago. He was being sentenced for unlawful possession of a firearm after police saw him showing off a gun on Snapchat. A music video starring Rich was played at his sentencing.
Got some shooters that get busy when I ask some. They knock all drinks and push back with bitch if you're capping. Don't drop a dick.
Police and prosecutors said it contained several references to recent fatal shootings in Bloomington Normal, many involving gang-affiliated suspects and victims. 2018, if you recall, was an unusually violent year in Bloomington Normal, with 9 gun homicides. Rich went to prison for almost 2 years at Sheridan Correctional Center, which is dedicated to substance abuse. That was during the peak of COVID isolation.
It was like, imagine being locked in your cell every day, 7 days a week. You come out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 30 minutes. That's it. 10 minutes to shower, 20 minutes to use the phone. Imagine that from March of 2020 all the way until April of 2021.
He was released on parole this past July. He came home with over 9 books of lyrics. Now he's rededicating his life to music, a fresh start, ideally. He looks up to rappers like Yo Gotti, Black Youngsta, and Moneybagg Yo. He's looking to find a label, representation. He has 11 unreleased songs. One of them is called Still Sipping, about addiction and losing people close to him.
Losing coordinating, CJ Samuel turned me crazy. When I was doing time, they hit up, come and flee, ain't make it. 5400 block where I come from, it ain't the same. Still got love for it, my people tell me that I'm the same.
It helped me get out what I'm feeling. Like my music, it might be hard to tell, but I'm very hard at communicating. Like, that's something that I really don't do, like opening up and something like this, like I'm doing it now, because it just feel like the time to, you know? And I feel like what helps with that is my music, because I don't really like talking to people, you know? Because then they got the upper hand of something that they know about you, like, oh, well, he was just, you feel me, over this or over that. So
yeah,
a lot of things get balled in, and I just put it into the music.
Rich says his addiction issues have leveled out. No more hardcore drugs every day, all day. He says he's mellower now, and he doesn't have any regrets about his past decisions, about the things that have put him behind bars.
It helped me better myself and become a person who I am. I don't have no regrets in life. Everything I did in life was for a reason, even the good, the bad, and everything. But it helped me to, you know, proceed in the path of a brighter.
I set up this interview with Rich because I remember being there in the courtroom on that day in 2019 when he was sentenced to prison. He said something in the courtroom that really stuck out to me. He said, "Everything that happened in court today has opened my eyes. I'm really speechless." His mother, Jelena, then chimed in and said, "We're going to take this sentence and we're going to make something positive.
I want to be known as a person that been through a lot and overcame and progressed and show growth through everything he's been through."
Now it's up to Rich to prove that true. You can hear all our music interviews by subscribing to the WGLT Music Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Start your morning with WGLT's daily news podcast, The Leadoff. Hi, I'm Ryan Denham, host of WGLT's The Leadoff. You'll hear our biggest local story of the day.
Will ISU require it regardless of testing?
To be clear, we have...
plus headlines and a look at today's calendar. It's a full day's worth of news in 8 minutes or less. WGLT's The Leadoff is made possible with support from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or NPR One. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. A Bloomington woman has been honored for helping youths pursue leadership and career opportunities that were not available to her when she was growing up. Student reporter Tiffany Jackson introduces you to Linda White, who was recently inducted into the Illinois 4-H Hall of Fame.
Linda White never planned to work in agriculture beyond tending her grandparents' farm in Louisiana. White says she didn't hear much about 4-H when she was young, and she says it wasn't easily accessible for people of color. Much later in life, she got connected with the 4-H program in McLean County, and she says it changed her life.
It teaches you broad spectrums on nutrition and growing your vegetables and working with agricultural and technology now. It's just a wonderful experience to see the youth and how they've grown in this day and age. But back then, I'm thinking about what we could have been.
4-H brings entrepreneurship, agriculture, and more to the forefront to expose students to more career possibilities. White volunteered as a 4-H leader for 11 years. Part of that induction in the Illinois 4-H Hall of Fame stems from her passion to expand diversity and inclusion in the program. White noticed there weren't many students of color in 4-H. She suspects many like her were never exposed to 4-H. White says farming may also carry a certain stigma for people of color, given the history of sharecropping in the U.S.
When we were in the fields back in the days, that wasn't about agriculturing for us as a people. This set, I believe, a mindset which makes our kids don't appreciate farming and what it can offer for them.
White says some students say they don't have transportation to participate in 4-H. Other students are involved in lots of activities and may feel like they don't have time for one more thing. White says parents can trust their children will be productive in 4-H because they don't just sit and watch.
Things are hands-on. They have to do. You can't just sit and look at everybody else and look over their shoulder. No, we want you to put your hands on it because that way you can claim your project and learn by doing. Mm-hmm. And that's how we strive to really encourage the parents to make sure you get your child there. And we'll take care of the rest.
Becoming a member of 4-H lends access to a variety of opportunities. White says with this mentorship, students can take what they learn and apply it to their daily lives, especially those who don't have access to a grocery store.
This way we can teach them how to work with the master gardeners and knowing the fundamentals of how you set up a garden. And it would help you with food deprivation.
As White leaves 4-H after more than 11 years, she hopes to see more youth get involved.
We got robotics now and other types of activities that these kids can get involved in. And I want to encourage them to seek out all these different avenues that interest you, because you never know where it will take you.
White worked full-time for State Farm during her time in 4-H. Now retired, White says she doesn't plan to rest too long because her work in the community is not done. I'm Tiffany Jackson.
71 people were presented with Illinois 4-H Hall of Fame Awards this year. Illinois 4-H programs reach nearly 120,000 youths each year through 4-H clubs, camps, educational programs, and workshops throughout the state.
WGLT is with John Kim of Bloomington from the moment he wakes up.
My 6 cups of coffee and the leadoff.
WGLT's daily news podcast, that's his favorite.
I love the snapshot. I love that it's quick hits of things happening here in our community.
John uses WGLT every day, so now he's a financial contributor.
Join the community that powers WGLT. Give now during the fall fund drive at WGLT.org.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. The Illinois Shakespeare Festival announced its 45th season today, returning to a full slate of 3 plays for the first time in 2 years. As Lauren Warnicke reports, summers at Ewing Cultural Center will feel a lot more normal as the festival resumes pre-pandemic operations.
Illinois Shakespeare Festival Artistic Director John Stark says he's happy to be fulfilling a promise he made in 2019 to revive the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged.
We are moving forward sort of as a gift to the community, to our patron community that really wanted to see this production again. And so that's why we brought it back.
Will Tom and David be making a return, or will it be a new cast?
No, they will be making a return. So they're coming back, and it's going to be re-envisioned a bit, but those two actors have done numerous seasons with us. I think Tom Quinn has been with us 14 seasons, and David Quartermeyer 13 seasons or something like that. I think they're in competition. They are longtime favorites of our patrons in the Illinois Shakespeare Festival.
Certainly, you're not letting go of the canonical works of Shakespeare, though, so after this production wraps in June, in July and August, you're going to be flipping back and forth between Much Ado About Nothing and King Lear on rotation. One a tragedy, one a comedy. Why these two in particular?
They are beloved shows by Shakespeare goers. Much Ado About Nothing, which will open in July 2nd, is a beloved romantic comedy. I think it's one of his best comedies overall. It features some great characters. We haven't produced it in several years, and so I think it was time to take another look at it. And it is a very, at the same time it's comedic, it's a smart comedy in terms of the witty wordplay and the banter between the two lead characters, Beatrice and Benedict, and I find it just delightful. King Lear has only been produced 2 other times at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, once I believe in 1985 and 2003. So this is only the third production of it, and it is very much respected in terms of a work of Western literature. And so I thought it was time to take a look at it. And it is the themes that are present in King Lear are present in our society at almost any time. It's almost been a generation since we produced it. And so I think it was time.
And particularly those themes of power and what we do with it are going to resonate with our audiences today.
Right. And the family dynamics of what happens between an aging monarch, King Lear, and his daughters. And those machinations are always a part of life.
So, John, you've been artistic director of the festival since 2018, sort of your fourth season, sort of the third that you've produced.
Yeah.
And you're a scenic designer.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting to come from the production side into an artistic director role, which one that is typically seen among former actors or directors. So what do you bring to the festival that's different, having come through the production side?
I started in 1993 with the festival, so I do have a long history of
a little
designing.
Institutional knowledge
yeah,
there.
I do.
Yeah,
I was also involved with the building of the new space in 1999-2000. And so I think some of that is I have institutional knowledge. I also understand the space quite well. I understand the challenges of the space. I think I can be helpful to the production teams and what may or may not work in terms of how they want to use the space and how they want to present it, not trying to make limitations, but maybe cautioning at times about certain aspects of things that they want to produce. And so I think I have that with me. I think that's one of the main things I bring. I think it's also, I think I bring my eye, my artistic eye. And as a scenic designer, I'm looking at the total picture, what the audience is seeing. And as artistic director, that just extends a little bit further because I'm also considering the actors and the director's work in staging and characterization, et cetera, to make sure that those are being received well. I did have a bit of an actor background young in my career. I'm married to an actor. My son's an actor. My daughter's a dancer. So there's very much lots of performance around my family life. So I think it's always been part of my makeup as a theater practitioner.
That was artistic director John Stark talking with WGLT about the Illinois Shakespeare Festival's upcoming 2022 season. I'm Lauren Warnicki.
You can see the Illinois Shakespeare Festival in the grounds of the Ewing Cultural Center beginning on June 4th, 2022. For a full lineup, visit illinoisshakes.com. Tickets will be available next spring. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas today on WGLT Normal, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm Ryan Denham. We had story help today from Eric Stock, Tiffany Jackson, and Lauren Warnicki. You can find all our Sound Ideas interviews at WGLT.org. You can also subscribe to the Sound Ideas podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google, or NPR One. This is 89.1 FM and WGLT.org. We are Bloomington Normal's public media.